It's awesome to be reminded that we're together in this, hey? That we're together in this, in our journey with Jesus. And there are many others around the world that are doing this journey with us, but it's cool to be reminded that we're together. One way that we're together as well as a community of Good Life is we're actually going through the Word of God. And this last week's memory verse was really talking about how faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. And Tim shared on that last week, and we've been talking about developing faith. Our next memory verse, if you take two words from this, or one word from this, if we could get that up in Matthew 28:19, we're entering into a month where we look at missions, and I'm so excited about this next month. I'm so excited about what we're going to be hearing and what missions is about. I'm also really excited about this next month because I'm actually heading back to the States to see my family. But so I'm going to be going on a little mission there. But guys, if we can kind of take one word from this, I believe that word is go. I believe that word is go. I agree with Tim. We're in a state of condition in this world that's so broken. There are so many believers all around the world being persecuted for their faith. Just yesterday, I stumbled across a feed on Facebook, and it was way too graphic for me to then take and share on my page, but it was pretty much a photo of Christians crucified in Syria for standing up for the name of Jesus. And Jesus says, go. Jesus says, go. Go into your workplaces. Go into your marriages. Go into your families. Go, go, go. Do we believe that the gospel is good news? The gospel doesn't discriminate or separate based on experience. It doesn't discriminate or separate based on age. It doesn't discriminate or separate based on gender, based on nationality. Jesus said to go. I was recently chatting with a good mate of mine, and he was telling me about his father, who's in his 90s. And this is what his father said. His father said that each and every single morning I get up, I say, for the last 91 years, God's been preparing me for what He has for me to do today. I pray that that would be my heart, that I could wake up in the morning and say, for the last 30 years, God has been preparing for me what He has for me to do today. And guys, I believe that's to go. I believe that that's to go into the world, to go and make disciples. So I encourage you, be reading the Word, be meditating on the Word. I'm really excited about sharing today because we've been defining faith. We've been developing faith. And Hebrews 12, what we're going to talk about today is demonstrating faith. And so if you have your Bibles, if you could turn to Hebrews 12, that'd be awesome. I picture Hebrews 12 as if we've been here in the last few weeks, we've been looking at defining faith, and we've been looking at these men and women that had just this extreme faith, where they faced persecution. And as I was praying just then, I was actually praying that we would have the courage to be persecuted here in Australia, that the Australian church, the church here, the Church of Jesus Christ in Australia, would have the courage to go into our workplaces, would have the courage to speak the gospel, would have the courage to live the gospel. And I love chapter 12, because chapter 12, it's like the author of Hebrews is having this pep talk. He's got his team together, and it's the halftime chat. And he's got his team, and he's like, okay, we've seen where you've gone, we've seen what you've done, and we've seen these who have gone before you. We've seen these who have gone before you. We've seen the faith that they had. And he's gathering them together. And it's like he's rallying his church. It's rallying the Church of Jesus together. And what does he say? The very first thing he says in Hebrews 12, he says, therefore, he says, since we are surrounded by so many people, since we're surrounded by all these people, this hall of the heroes of faith, He's taken them through this journey to show them all these different people who've lived for Jesus. And he says, therefore, since we're surrounded by all those people, let us throw off everything, everything that entangles us, everything that holds us down. Guys, I believe that that's the whole reason that we did the Gods at War. Because that was looking at what are those things that are holding us back? What are those things that are holding us back from doing what God wants us to do? And sometimes one of those things is fear. And if you look back at Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 10, you see that, man, we've got to face those fears. We've got to come in the face of those. We've got to throw that off. And he says, throw off everything that hinders you and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run. Three words there. He says, let us run. This is not let us walk. Let us be dragged along on our journey in Jesus. No, he says, let us run. And I don't know if any of you guys have tried to run with weights on, but I'd imagine that would slow you down a fair bit. I actually went to uni with a guy. His name was Jamin. And one day he came to uni and he rocked up with these weights around his ankles. And I was like, what are you doing? Why do you have weights on your ankles? And he's like, oh, I'm actually strengthening, you know, I'm strengthening my calf muscles. I'm strengthening my body. But he would have run so much slower. He would have run with, you know, he would have had to use so much more endurance. But Hebrews says that's silly. We're not about doing that. Throw off those things that are entangling you. Throw off those things that are slowing you down and let us run. You know, it's funny. We almost talk about our Christian faith. We don't talk about it as a run. We kind of talk about it like, hey, how's your walk going with God? Paul didn't say it. Paul said, let us run. Let us be people who grab a hold of the gospel and run with it. Let us run with perseverance. The first point here I want to look at is to run our race. To run our race. Do you guys believe? I want you to ask yourself the question, do you believe that God has a race for you? Do you believe that God has a race for you? Helen, do you believe that God has a race for you? Do you believe that? Do we believe that God actually has a race? He has a chosen path that he's marked out for you. In Hebrews, it says there, and let us run with perseverance. What? The race that is marked out for us. That God's gone ahead and he's prepared a race for you. Psalms 139 verse 14, it says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Wonderfully has an interesting meaning here. Wonderfully is actually the Hebrew word pala. And the Hebrew word pala means to be distinct or to be separate, to be set apart, to be marked out. God is saying, I have made you so unique. I have made you so different. And I have a race that is for you. It's not a race that's for Daniel. It's not a race that's for Tim. It's for you. This is not, Hebrews is not just talking to people that, you know, would be seen preaching the gospel on a stage. No, he's saying this race is for us. Let us run the race that God has given us, our race. There's no one like you. You're completely unique in so many ways. You're uniquely gifted. Just this last week, I was talking with the young adults, and recently he's just quit his job. And I was talking to him, I was like, well, how are you gifted? How do you believe that God's really wired you? And he's like, well, I'm good at sport. I'm good at futsal. I'm good at, you know, these different sports. And I'm like, well, I'm absolutely rubbish at those. I acknowledge that is not my gifting. But guys, what is your gifting? What has God designed you to do? And our giftings are not age specific. They're not gender specific. They are you specific. They are gospel specific. This isn't a race that we've selected. Hebrews says it's a race that's marked out for us. It's God who's established it. Ephesians 2, verse 9 to 10 gives us an idea of this race. I love how Paul words this. Look at Ephesians 2. He says straight away, this is about the gospel. He says, for it is by grace that you have been saved. Through faith. We've just talked about faith. And he says, not by works, so that no one can boast. So he lays it up very, very, very clear. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus, not by works. But what does he say in the very next verse? For we are God's workmanship, or we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We are created to do great things, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is that race. God has said in Hebrews, he said, I've marked out a race for you. I've marked out a path for you. And I love it because Paul says, okay, let's not get this twisted, because some people would have been like, hang on a second. What's this works talk? Paul says, even before, he says, I knew you were going to do that. I knew you were going to think that. So right before I said you've been created to do these great things, right before I said that, I said, but you are not saved by those things. See, we are not saved by our good works. We are saved for good works. God has saved us for things. Guys, we've got to stop looking at our salvation as God has saved us from things and start looking at our salvation and say, Jesus has saved us for things. Jesus has saved us so that we can be a part of a race. So that we can even be a part of it. I love it how Tim was talking about Romans. Yes, we are grafted in. The Jews are the chosen people, and we have been grafted into that. We have been allowed to be a part of that. That is our joy, to be a part of it, to bear the name of Jesus. That is our joy. We get to be a part of God's redemptive plan. We get to be a part of it. I love this. This changed a while back in my thinking. I used to think, oh, I have to do that. I have to love those people. Or, oh, I have to, you know, live this way, or I have to live that way. And guys, I had it so wrong. We get to do these things. We get to wear the name of Jesus. It's not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do. It is a gift. Salvation is a gift. Being an ambassador for Jesus is a gift. Demonstrating our faith is a gift. I challenge us on this. Is our attitude that we have to take Jesus in our workplaces? Is our attitude, I get to take Jesus into my workplace? We are not saved by our good works. We are saved to do good works. The second point there that I want to look at is run with purpose. How are we meant to run this race? In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul talks about how he runs a race. He says, do you not know in chapter 9, verse 24 to 27, he says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. And we've talked about this. Tim spoke about how we ought to develop our faith, how we should be praying to the Lord, how we should be running together, how we should be walking together, how we should be reading the Word of God, because faith comes from hearing. He talked about how we should be developing our faith. And now Paul is saying, okay, go into your strict training. But why do we do it? We do it to get a crown that they do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do this to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone aimlessly running. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have finished preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So Paul is saying, man, I don't run aimlessly. I don't go out there and just run and go crazy. I don't just punch the air. Has anyone here ever been into a boxing class? Anyone? I went to a boxing class a while ago and I am terrible at boxing. Like I'm like absolutely doing what Paul says not to do. I'm punching the air. But guys, how often are we doing that in our Christian faith? How often are we doing that in the race that God's given us? God's given us a mind. God's given us the ability to strategize how to be smart about preaching the gospel. I love it. We don't need to think about really our knowledge of Jesus or anything like that. Peter says, man, be prepared to give a response to people, but do it with gentleness. Do it with grace. And Paul talks about how he's running the race. I love his language. He says, I run to receive a prize that won't fade. Anyone been watching the Commonwealth Games? Anyone? Yeah. What's happening? Records are being broken all over the place. We just had our swimming girls just break all these world records. Records were made to be broken. Isn't that the phrase, that records were made to be broken? Well, Paul's talking about a prize here that is not made to be broken. Paul's saying, you know what? I'll give you something that you can live for that no one's going to beat. This is going to be something, it's going to be a prize secured for you in heaven. And I'll tell you what that is. It's running the race for Jesus. I was thinking about the last few runners over the last 100 years. And I found that over the last 100 years, they've broken the world record for the 100-meter dash 21 times. So over time, we've become better and better and better at maximizing what we can get out of ourselves. But really, it's just going to last for a while. It's not going to last forever. Paul here is talking about reaching for something that will not fade. In Philippians 3, 12 to 14, I love this because Paul is writing here and he's in chains for the gospel. And he's writing here and he's saying, man, I don't have this altogether. I'm not saying that I have it made, but I'm well on my way. I'm not saying that I've got this made, but we're well on our way. I am reaching out for Christ, who so wondrously has reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I have my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus, and I'm off and running. I'm not turning back. I love that. Paul says, man, I know who I was before. I'm not looking back. I've got my eyes fixed on Christ. I'm running onward. Guys, do we believe that God is calling us continually and continually and continually onward? I believe he is. I believe he's like going, okay, I'm glad with that, but I want to see you going forward. I want to see you taking the faith that you have and moving forward. One of the things I was hugely challenged about these last few weeks in faith was when Tim shared about how the disciples had just, you know, done the whole fishing thing and they fished on the other side and they pulled up the fish and then they left the fish. That rocked me. Because I've almost been looking back at how God's been doing things in my life and I've been living on that faith of the past. And I haven't been holding on. I haven't been going, God, where do you want new faith? Where do you want me to step out in new areas? I've been like, God, how cool is it that I stepped out there? Hey, like, cheer me on. How's it going? Like, I stepped out there. And God's continually calling us forward. He's continually calling us onward. What is the purpose of our race? The purpose of our race is simple. It's to be more like Jesus. To be more like Jesus in our everyday. Romans 8 says this. I'll tell you the chapter. It's in Romans 8, 29 to 30. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him. He decided from the very beginning that he would shape us. He would put us on a race and he would shape us through that. Along the same lines, listen to this, that he would shape us along the same lines as his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. After God made that decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling a people by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. He set them on a foundation. And then after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. God's not begun this work in you to let it go. God's begun this work in you to complete what he has begun. Philippians also tells us that he who began that work, he's going to finish it. I love that though. Just after that in Romans, it says, and now this is the God who will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's the God. Nothing can separate us from that God. Jesus instructs us that we should be storing up treasure in heaven. We should be engaged in this race. The third point I want to look at is run with perseverance. How are we running? We run with purpose, but we also run with perseverance. If you go back to Hebrews 12, it says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I want to look at this in a different kind of way. Because there's things in our lives, there's revelations that we've had in our lives that God's given us. And I want to challenge us not to just look at faith as stepping out of a boat, not to just look at faith as believing for God in these things, but to look at faith as having the perseverance to continue to have faith, to look at faith as having the perseverance to continue to love, to look at faith as having the perseverance to do the things that God's already shown you to do. What has God already revealed of himself? What are the truths that God has already taught us in his word? Philippians 3:16 says this. It says, only let us live up to what we have already attained. Or in other words, we are responsible for the truths that we already possess. We're responsible for the truths that we already know about Jesus. We're responsible for the truths that he's already told us to do. And sometimes, as I was thinking about this, I was like, sometimes the greatest demonstration is to love the unlovely. Sometimes the greatest demonstration of our faith is to forgive. Sometimes the greatest demonstration of our faith is to be kind. Sometimes the greatest demonstration of our faith is to show humility. These are the things that God has actually shaped us to be, the fruits of the Spirit. Love, patience, tenderness, self-control. These are the things that God has shaped us to be. And I believe that sometimes the greatest way that we can demonstrate our unswerving, our steadfast faith in God is to be obedient to the simple things that he's called us to in life. But they're also sometimes the hardest. Jesus gave us two commands. He said, love God and love people. What was the scenario that James used in the book of James? James said, all right, if you have faith, I want to see proof. Because he said, faith without proof, faith without works is dead. And what was the scenario he used? Did he say, all right, Daniel, I want to see you quit your job and go and trust God for finance? No, he did not. He said, okay, I'm going to give you a scenario here. Which one of you has a friend? And if you have a friend or you have a brother or sister and you know that they have no clothes and you know that they have no food and you say to them, hey, mate, just go and be filled. Let me pray with you. But hey, just go and be filled. And you do nothing about it. He said your faith is dead because it has not motivated you to action. You are not motivated by action of what Jesus has done in you. You're just going, really? Oh, that's a pretty terrible situation you're in. Let me go on your way and be filled with peace. And James says, your faith is dead. The things that God has called us to be faithful in oftentimes are the simple things too. I love it that he didn't use this grandiose example. He used a very simple example. He said, if you can't even love your neighbor, your faith is dead. Because God said the number one thing, he said, love God and love people. I believe the perseverance here is to continue to be engaged, to continue to demonstrate the simple things that God has taught us to do. You know, it was funny. I was reading in I was reading in Philippians this week, and I came across this verse, and it said, "Let your manner be of that is obedient to the gospel of Christ." Or no, let your manner conduct yourselves. This is it. In whatever you experience, conduct yourselves in a way that's worthy of the gospel of Christ. And I read that verse in the morning, and I was like, "Oh boy, God, if I'm going to believe this, I'm going to need your help." And I knew that I was going to experience things that day where I would be tested. Daniel, are you going to conduct yourselves in whatever you experience? Are you going to conduct yourselves in a matter that's worthy of the gospel of Jesus? And so I wrote this prayer and I was like, "God, help me with this because I'm going to need your help." And anyhow, it was Monday. It was Monday fun day. And Monday fun day is my day off. And I love this day. And it's a day where I do Daniel stuff. So I try and I go surfing and do these kinds of things. And anyhow, I rang up my mate and he actually isn't working right now. So he's kind of like Monday fun day is every day. And so he surfs a lot. And I ring him up and we're like, "Hey, let's go surfing." And so we drive down to Kiwanis and we're checking the surf. And we're like, "Oh, yeah, it looks all right. It looks okay." And we're like, "Oh, maybe we'll go check somewhere else." And so we drive up the beach and we check there. And he's like, "Oh, you know what? Moffat's has been really good. Moffat Beach down in Calandra has been really good." And I'm like, "Ooh, I don't like the sounds of this. I'm not sure about this." So we go down to Moffat and we're standing there. And then he sees one of his friends. And this guy like loves talking to people. Like, he loves it. And so he sees one of his friends, then we go down and we sit down and we're talking to these guys. Half an hour goes by. I'm looking out at the waves. I'm going, "Oh, wow, it's wind's starting to come up. Storm clouds are starting to roll in." I'm going, "Oh, my gosh, all I wanted to do was surf today." And then he goes, "Oh, look at that out there. Let's maybe go check that break." I'm just like, "Come on, I just want to surf." Anyhow, so I get back in my car. And I'm driving over to check this other break. And I start getting angry in my head. I start going, "Man, he doesn't even understand. Like, this is my only day off. And I can't even get any waves. All I want to do is surf." And instantly my mind starts thinking, "Let your conduct always be worthy of the gospel of Christ in everything we experience." And so I get to the next break. I'm like, "Mate, you're not going to believe what I read this morning." And I share this with him. I'm like, and I was starting to get agitated. I was starting to get angry. And we went out and we surfed like the worst bank in the world. But it was so much fun. Because guys, we don't find our joy. We don't find our joy in selfish things. We find our joy when we realize the things that we're given are gifts. That we can even paddle out and we can even paddle into waves and stand up on them and have fun. But guys, if we're not seated in the Word of God, I reckon if I didn't read that morning in the Word of God, I would have just continued in my selfish pattern. We got to demonstrate our faith. And sometimes it's the simplest things that God's asking us to do. The last point here I'm going to look at is, before I do that, Galatians 6:9, with perseverance, never grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary. Paul finishes off this whole letter that people have used to say, it's not about works. And he says, don't grow weary in doing good. For in it, if you do not give up, you will reap the rewards. The last point I want to look at is run together. Tim spoke last week about how we should never forsake the gathering of believers, how we should rally around one another. And Hebrews 10, I love this verse. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, let us consider how we may spur one another onward toward love and good deeds. Let us consider how we can encourage one another towards love and good deeds. Don't give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Spur one another onto what? Remind people, God has a race for you. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. You've been working 30 years. God's been working on this plan for 30 years for you to do what you should do today. God's been working on your life for 50 years for you to do what you should do today. God's been working on your life for 70 years for you to do what you should do today. Let us encourage one another. Let us remind one another. Let us point one another back to that race that God has for them. Run the race together. But this is a really important thing. Don't look at their race and try and run their race. Don't measure yourselves based on what God's doing in other people's lives. God has a race and a plan for you. Be obedient in the plan and the call that He has put in your life. Don't give up on meeting one another and don't run this race alone. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Sharpen each other. That's what I love about Sundays. I love it that we get to gather together in a whole body of believers and be like, man, how can I encourage you? This is what it should be. How can I encourage you? How's your race going? How's your run going? Can I pray with you? Can I encourage you? Can I encourage you to step out in that? Can I encourage you to keep loving your wife? Can I encourage you to keep loving your children? Can I encourage you to keep teaching your children the ways of God? Can we pray together for your kids that don't know Jesus? Can we carry each other's burdens? Can we help each other run a race? And the last thing that Paul talks about in Timothy, I'll pretty much preach this verse every time I preach, is finish the race. In 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8, he says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race, and I've kept the faith. If we could get the worship team to come up the front. And he says, now there is a store in store for me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all those who have longed for his appearing. Paul's saying to Timothy, keep the faith. Finish the race. Run the race. Run the race with purpose. Run the race with perseverance. Run the race together, but finish the race. There's a funny story. When I was a school teacher, we had some school festivals and athletics festivals, and sometimes the teachers would be able to race against the students. And this one race came up, and it was a relay, and I was on the last lap of the relay. It's a whole school's there. And I was like, I really want to win this. I'm a competitive person. And anyhow, some of the teachers that had run before were a bit slower. And so I was on that last race, and one of the students that was pretty quick, he was already ahead. And I grabbed that, what do they call those things? I'm not a runner. Baton. I grabbed the baton and I'm just like off, and I'm just pacing it, not even breathing. I'm running so hard. And anyhow, I get to the finish line and I look beside me and I just go end over end and completely collapse and land on my face. Just rolling. Like, it was terrible. All the kids are laughing. But guys, I was so focused on the competition. I was so focused on beating the person next to me. I didn't even finish the race. I rolled over the finish line. And guys, God has not called us to do that. He's called us. He said, I will finish this glorious work that I have in you. I will allow you to finish the race. What I'd love to do today is I'd love to believe that with one another. Why don't we stand up together? Why don't we stand up together? And we're gonna go over a new song. And I want to lead you, or just show you these lyrics, this one bit of this song. It says, you take our failure, you take our weakness, you set your treasure, you set your race, you trust us in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel, the world to see your love in me. As we go into missions, this is about taking God's treasure. And it's in our weakness, that He'll be made strong. In our broken vessel, in this jar of clay. But God, let us be your vessel for the world to see. If you want to pray with each other, if you want to encourage each other, if you know the person next to you, maybe take this time to start practicing that demonstration of our faith. Take this time to start doing what Paul said the Christian church ought to do, to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to lift one another up. And if you want to just worship and sing this song, that's cool too. But guys, let's encourage one another. Keep up the race. Keep up the good work. Never give up. We will reap the reward that God has for us. I'll just lead us in prayer and we can start worship.